You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. And I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we're talking about, well, the likelihood of a season going on, which isn't going to happen, and a few thoughts about the concept of the commissioner. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home, please be smart during these strange times and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. Hey, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB _net. You can follow us on Instagram at Locked On MLB. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Going on some deep dives on YouTube. You know, you gotta get your baseball fix somehow. And I found there's a whole bunch of clips, old black and white clips of Duke Snider while he was playing for the Mets. We all know, if you're at all have any knowledge of baseball history, Duke Snider was the great hero of the Brooklyn Dodgers, their center fielder when the Yankee fans and Giant fans were debating Mickey or Willie, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays. The Dodger fan says, hey, we got the Duke. We got Duke Snider. Now, Duke Snider was nowhere near the quality of player of Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. But guess what? He was a Hall of Famer. He was beloved. And there's some great clips of him. Towards the end of his career, he came to the Mets as the Mets were trying to woo lots of Dodger and Giant fans who were burnt by their teams leaving town and say, hey, come root for us. And one of them was a walk-off homer by Duke Snider, old black and white kinescope. And the Mets played in the Polo Grounds at the time. And it's surreal as a person who loves baseball history to see Duke Snider playing his home games in the Polo Grounds. It's surreal seeing the Polo Grounds on television clips. I've seen him in film clips, but television clips. And there's Duke playing a game in the field that was the archenemy of the Dodgers. And it's strange that when the Dodgers and Giants left for California, the Dodgers play right down the 110 from where I'm sitting right now in beautiful Pasadena, that Met fans became kind of the offspring of Giants and Dodger fans, two fan bases that were at each other's throats for generations, suddenly had to intertwine and become a new fan base, which were the Mets, which is why I think they're a very interesting and neurotic fan base. Anyway, it's fun. It's fun to look at some of those clips because we're not getting any new clips. We're not seeing any new highlights. Now, I wanted to start this podcast with that little deep dive. And I'm doing that on purpose because, yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened the other day. And it's more of the disagreement and is there going to be a season or anything. And I'm trying to fill that gap. I'm trying to fill that gap that we, who are all of us who are rabid baseball fans, we need that fix. We need that happiness. And if it means watching old Duke Snider clips, so be it. Well, Rob Manfred is not my favorite commissioner. I don't know if I have a favorite commissioner. You know, Bart Giamatti is a wonderful reputation, but he also died before he could sully his reputation. That's not a reference to me. And as the great writer Christina Carl pointed out, I was singing Giamatti's praises, hoping we could clone him to become a new commissioner. She reminded me that he was a notorious union buster while being the president of Yale and probably would have been a big anti-union commissioner, and it probably would have led to loggerheads And so you're right. We tend to create martyrs and want to create martyrs and think the best. You know, things have gotten so bad with Rob Manfred, who I've said jokingly on Twitter that I do not believe he likes baseball. And I'm starting to remove the joking part of that. I see no evidence that he's a baseball fan and enjoys the game. I was never a fan of Bud Selig. I thought he did far more harm than good as the commissioner of baseball. But I also got the sense that Bud Selig enjoyed baseball. I just think that he did a lot of rotten things first as the owner of the Brewers and then as the supposed commissioner of baseball for a period of time. But things have gotten so bad with Rob Manfred that there are actually people posting stuff on Twitter saying, hey, can we have Bud Selig back? Of which I remind people, no. No. Just because Rob Manfred is awful doesn't mean Bud Selig has risen to the level of someone I would want back. You know, there has to be a better flavor at this Baskin and Robbins selection of potential commissioners of baseball. I will say one thing about Rob Manfred is he did something that I felt was impossible, and that is turn the narrative of the labor dispute against the owners. That the animosity now seems to be directed at Manfred, who a week ago said, there's 100% chance we're going to see baseball. And then suddenly today said, nah, I don't think so. And I think the players have been not negotiating in good faith. When anyone with a pair of eyes will see that the owners are not being forthright. They're not. And they haven't been for generations. It's nothing new. But now when you see the narratives and the anger, the vitriol is being thrown at Manfred. Now, people always, I mean, I don't, but people always seem to be going against the players in situations like that. So if anyone could turn the tide, then perhaps it's the incompetence of Manfred, who is looking around going like, oh, man, I'm pretty bad at this. Gary Bettman of the NHL said, wow, I thought I was the worst commissioner. You know, it's a mess. It's a mess what's going on. Now, I stand by what I've been saying, and that is, I don't think they should come back because of the health reasons. Remember, they didn't cancel the games in spring training because of a labor dispute. They did because there's a pandemic. And guess what, folks, especially those of you who wrote in saying, oh, we got to stand up to the virus and everything. Guess what? You're seeing spikes of infections and new cases wherever they open up. It's a dumb thing to do. And oh, by the way, reports that some of the players have tested positive. Surprise! And so, this is a chance to put a silver lining, or at least a sense of, you know, a sense of duty to have baseball survive for another generation. Now, they've been handed this terrible set of cards of the COVID pandemic. But it's not limited to baseball. There's no Stanley Cup awarded. The NBA Finals weren't played. There was no March Madness. There was no Wimbledon. There was no Masters. All of sports seems to be on hold. And it'd be a very easy narrative to write, because all you'd have to do is use facts to say, and baseball also was halted because of the coronavirus. Now, for some of us who have been in shelter in place, we've been in shelter in place since the middle of March here in California, there's been a chance to get things done in the house or maybe check some things off of your proverbial to-do list. I've been fortunate enough to still be able to continue working, as have other members of my family. So it's, I know that we're the lucky ones. And baseball is lucky as well. Because everyone knew in the last couple of years that baseball could be heading for a labor showdown. And now they have a chance to say, okay, let's stop playing this through the media because neither side is going to come out looking good. But baseball could look good if they don't try to restart the season, because it will be an absolute train wreck. It will resemble the opening of The Fugitive, okay? Remember the big train wreck and Harrison Ford jumps off? That will be baseball. If it reopens, it's a mess. They have to shut it back down. It'll be a calamity. This is a horrible situation with these lemons that have been handed. So start making lemonade to say that when baseball comes back, there's a CBA. Bang it out. Because as I said in a podcast that I produced on April of 2019, baseball cannot afford to lose one day because of a labor dispute. They're not losing games now because of a labor dispute. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. They're not playing because of COVID. But if it's time to come back and it's healthy to come back, they can't miss one day because the entertainment options are too plentiful. As I said before, they're not fighting against the NFL, the NBA, hockey, college basketball, women's basketball, golf, the Olympics. They're fighting against Netflix and Amazon. They're fighting against YouTube. Hell, listen to how I started this podcast, me going on a YouTube deep dive. So they have to emerge on the other side of this with a CBA. As hard as it will be to bang out, they have to do it. This is the equivalent of, at one point when my family was living in Massachusetts, and I must have been the 8th or 9th grade, at the Belmont Hill School in Massachusetts. And there was a paper that was due, and I just couldn't finish it. It was awful. I needed to take another stab at it. And the day it was due, we had a snow day. The snow pounded us and school was canceled. So I had an extra day to finish it. And your pal Sully got himself a B. I would have flunked it if I didn't have that extra day. Now, today, they would just put it on a server, and it wouldn't matter if it's snowing. I don't know how these kids today do it. But baseball got a snow day to finish their exam and to finish the paper and to get the CBA done. Because as much as Manfred seems incompetent, as much as Tony Clark hates the owners, as much as the owners hate Tony Clark, they have to bang this out. Nobody can cry poverty. They just signed a $1 billion something deal with Turner. Okay? There's money. Knock it off. Figure it out. As painful as it may be, figure it out. The great producer of Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels, once said that the show doesn't go on when it's ready. The show goes on when it's 11:35 on Saturday. Well, that's when the CBA has to be done, when the games resume. Now, it's not going to resume this year, and that's an easy narrative to rewrite. Now, I personally don't think that Rob Manfred should be the commissioner anymore, and I think they need to put someone else in there. I have some thoughts, but I also have some thoughts on the commissioner itself and how we are looking at the role of the commissioner and a way to, I don't know, maybe think about it slightly differently. Anyway, that's a little teaser what we're going to talk about. Before we go into that, I'm going to tell you something. Some of the businesses are coming back, and I'm not going to lie to you, I am still not ready to go out to restaurants. That doesn't make me a bad person. It just means I'm not ready to do it yet. I'm not there yet. And so what I got to do is I got to get deliveries if I want to support some of the, my local restaurants. Like, there's a barbecue place in town. They've got fish and chips there that are just so good. I love fish and chips. And my local barbecue, they're great. And sometimes I go there with my friends when it was open, and they're getting ribs, they're getting burgers, and your pal Sully gets his fish and chips. They look at me and say, why are you getting fish and chips at a steak place? I said, because it's good. Mind your business. Eat your cow. I'll eat my fish. But if I want that, I use my Postmates. And given what's going on in the world, Postmates can deliver my food. I don't have to leave the house. I don't have to open the door. They have non-contact deliveries. So now when I order from the barbecue place, everything gets left right outside my door. I open it up. Boom! Fish and chips. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I've been using for takeout. That was for a Thai restaurant I use this for. And listen up. You guys need to be supporting these places. This is the best way to do it. Postmates doesn't just deliver Thai food and fish and chips. No. They actually make your life easier by picking up anything you need at Walgreens or 7-Eleven. And believe me, I needed this Walgreens one. Why? Guess what your pal Sully ran out of? Dishwashing soap. I did it. Where is it? I got to clean the dishes. Postmates, Walgreens, Palmolive. Boom. Done. So just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites. Get anything you want delivered within the hour. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it. Postmate it. A couple of years ago, I had Bob Kendrick as a guest on the old Sully Baseball podcast. Bob Kendrick is a person I've only known over the phone. I've never met him in person, but he gave an interview on the podcast, and he runs the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. He is a very generous man. He is a very charismatic man. He comes off wonderfully on television, a very handsome man, and dresses with impeccably. I mean, the best suits. He looks fantastic. But he's also a man with the best interests of the game at heart. He loves the history of the Negro Leagues and is preserving it in a way in Kansas City that the museum, which was, you know, relatively small and obscure when he took it over, is now a thriving museum and an absolute destination in Kansas City, not just for fans, but you see players of all races want to go to the museum and see the stories of the Negro Leagues, the phantom league that was playing in a parallel to the major leagues, of which it's the great frustration, in my opinion, of baseball history that so many great players did not get to play their primes in major league uniforms, that we didn't get to see the prime of Satchel Paige, any of Josh Gibson, any of Oscar Charleston, any of Judy Johnson, any of Turkey Stearns, Ray Dandridge, Cool Papa Bell, you know, Bojum Wilson, all these players who have found their place into the Hall of Fame and have found their place in baseball history, but didn't get to coincide and connect with the major leagues and their deeds and their lives, and every part of their legacy is being preserved by Bob Kendrick. And a person with the best interests of history, baseball, and integrity at heart. And I wrote on Twitter that I wish he was the commissioner of baseball. I wish that was who our commissioner was. Someone with the, that you basically hand the reins of the sport to, and the best interests of the sport to. I would love it if Bob Kendrick was the main person. I had said jokingly that I should be the commissioner. Now, I've said it half-jokingly in the past, but I do not believe I am more qualified than Bob Kendrick. I will be his lieutenant. I'll be vice commissioner under Bob Kendrick. But I would love to see him be the person who is in charge of things. But then I realized something. I realized that that's not the commissioner's job. The commissioner's job is to be the representative of the owners. The owners pick the commissioner. The owners back in 1920 created the office of the commissioner as a response to the Chicago White Sox gambling scandal of the 1919 World Series, to create the appearance that there is an independent person who's overseeing the needs of the owners and the game of baseball. That was Judge Landis, who did lots of stuff to help clean up the game in terms of gambling, but also kept the game segregated, which, of course, led directly to Bob Kendrick preserving the legacy of segregation in baseball. But it would have been better for baseball history if integration happened way before 1947. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is we see there's an adversarial relationship that always exists between the Players Association and the commissioner. The commissioner does not work in conjunction with the Players Association. The commissioner is the antagonist to the Players Association, and vice versa. They're in an adversarial relationship. And whether or not it is Bowie Kuhn or Peter Ueberroth, yes, even St. Bartlett Giamatti, Faye Vincent, Bud Selig, who got the job after a coup, Manfred, you name a commissioner, and their job is to represent the owner's needs. The heads of the Players Association, whether it's Marvin Miller or Don Fear or Tony Clark or whomever is in charge, is in a position that is adversarial to the owners. And we see this conflict. We see this conflict throughout baseball history. And it came to an absolute head when Marvin Miller gave the Players Association some teeth. For generations, there was no teeth, and the owners just could do whatever the heck they wanted. And then when suddenly they gained power, they saw moments of labor strife would come up every few years until we've had unprecedented peace since the scorched earth of 1994 and 1995. There's not been a work stoppage since 1995. There's not been a work stoppage since then, and I hope they keep that up. But there is always going to be conflict. And I was looking at Bob Kendrick and thinking, would he represent the owners? And it dawned on me, when baseball has been pushed to the brink, there have been moments of an arbitrator. The Sykes decision led directly to free agency when the Players Association and the owners went to binding arbitration regarding free agency in the mid-1970s. And the arbitrator looked over the facts and sided with the players in the concept of free agency. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, now a Supreme Court justice, was the judge who created the injunction that did not allow the owners to use the replacement players, but basically ended the work stoppage of 1995, when there is a third party who has to be the arbitrator. In fact, when players go to get a raise in against the owners, they go to arbitration. So I'm looking at Bob Kendrick, and I'm looking at what baseball needs. And what baseball needs is not a commissioner, and it's not a head of the Players Association. They need a third party. You know how supposedly our government works by having checks and balances in the three branches of government? The legislative, the judicial, and the executive branches are supposed to check on each other so one doesn't abuse its power. That's how it's supposed to work. There's a thing called the Constitution of the United States. They talk about that. You may want to read up on that. Well, what if part of the reason that these things are happening in baseball is that you have two parties that are like rams butting each other, and they don't need a commissioner, they need an arbitrator. And maybe the arbitrator is not someone whose job it is to find the best interest of the owners and not the best interest of the players, but the best interest of the direction of the game. The chief arbitrator. Now, you could argue that it should be a judge. You could argue it should be a lawyer. I argue it should be someone who has the best interest of the game at heart and understand and has a not just a love of the game, but a love of the direction of the game and a sense of being a steward of the game and someone who is going to shepherd it in the right direction. And there may be times the owners are right. There may be times that the players are right. And they give their appeal to the chief arbitrator. That's who I want Bob Kendrick to be. I want the two sides to lay down their grievances, lay down their thoughts, their takes, their opinions, their positions, and appeal to the chief arbitrator. And the chief arbitrator cannot have their checks paid by one party or the other. I don't know how it happens. I'm just sitting here on the Group W bench here in Pasadena, knowing that I want to give this power to someone who is not a player and not an owner, but wants the best interest of the game. The money is going to be there. Don't worry about the money. The players are going to get their money. The owners are going to get their money. So what is the best interest of the game? Maybe with a chief arbitrator, you won't see work stoppages. Maybe with a chief arbitrator, you won't see blackout rules. Maybe with a chief arbitrator, you won't see some of the other dumb stuff that's coming along, and you may see some progress and some stuff that makes sense. Maybe with a chief arbitrator, you will see the Pirates go back to their flat-top caps, and maybe you'll start to see robo-umps. Maybe you'll start to see pace of play truly addressed in a way that isn't length of game, but pace of play. Big difference. Maybe with an arbitrator, you'll start to see games being played in times where people can actually see them. Maybe you'll start to see minor leaguers get a better paycheck or better protection. And that is the third party, the checks and balances. Right now, there are no checks and balances. It's two rams butting heads. Go to a third party, like they always do. But this time, have it be someone that both sides say, okay, well, you're fine with this person. And there is no reason to not be fine with Bob Kendrick being the person they appeal to. Mr. Kendrick, which direction is the best for the game? Because let me tell you something. This is the type of man with the right point of view and the right head on the shoulders to lead the game in the right way. And damn, his suits are beautiful. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and check us out on all the platforms where you get your podcasts. And please, please check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. Making an appeal for a third branch of power in baseball and giving it to Bob Kendrick. This has been Locked On MLB for the 16th day of June 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.